Well, we are going to spend some time in God's Word, and I'd like to share on the subject of the power of the spoken word. And we're going to start by going to Proverbs chapter 18, the power of the spoken word. The words that we speak have a profound effect for good or for bad. And in chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It's incredible that such extremes. Death and life, all from the words that come out of our mouths, indicating there is some effect, there is definitely some power. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Another verse concerning words that can flow out of our mouths or should flow out of our mouths. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, very familiar verse of scripture. Let once in a while some corrupt communication. The word no there is the word no. It's a real simple one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And that means your mouth. Out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at what the right words can do for those who hear. It edifies and it ministers grace to those that hear what comes out of your mouth. The word corrupt communication, another word that's translated in the Working translation as decadent word, you know, means rotten or putrefied. Just horrible words. And we're not to allow any of those words to come out of our mouth. Like Proverbs says, we have the power of life or death coming out of our mouth. Let's go to Psalm 19. The words we choose to use are very important because they have such an effect, whether it's good or bad. And the best words to choose to speak are God's words. And here in Psalm 19, there's a very short description of what God's words are like. And we have, through the years, really learned so much about how great the words of God are and how wonderful and how powerful they are and healing they are. And the verse, "He sent his word and healed them." You know, there's just so many things concerning God's word and what great things it does. But here's a small list of it in this psalm. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, or cleansing, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." And in verse 14, just such a great verse, a great prayer, really. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so we should be very choosy as to what we choose, very picky as to what we pick that we're going to allow to come out of our mouths. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. So the best thing that we can speak is the Word of God. The truths of God's Word doesn't mean we have to just constantly be quoting the King James Version, but they should be words that are godly, and they minister grace, as it talks about in Ephesians. And I thought, as an example, seeing the power of the spoken word, here's God Almighty Himself speaking in this first chapter. And I thought, it's just you know, we've read these verses a lot of times, but in light of the power of the spoken word, here's words that God spoke. And in verse 3, it says, "And God said," and he's putting back the heavens and earth, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So there was a result. He said, let there be light. Those words came out of his mouth, so to speak, and the earth responded. The heavens responded, and there was light. Verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." It happened. He just spoke those words, and it happened. Verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." Again, look at the response of the earth to what God said to do. Verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Verse 20. "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Oh, that's verse 19. Verse 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Just amazing what God has done. And here's another wonderful one in verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image." Worked out pretty well for us. So, just great power in those words. Let's go to the book of Numbers. The casinos like this, so the gambling industry, they're in the Numbers. I think it's a different type of Numbers, though. Numbers chapter 11. Great power in the words that God spoke, and when he spoke, things happened. Chapter 11, verse 21. And this is, God had instructed Moses about feeding the children of Israel. There was a certain circumstance, and God got involved and said, you're going to feed these children of Israel meat. And Moses, verse 21, said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month." You know, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm supposed to feed them for 30 days. Verse 22, "Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" You know, do we really have that much food? "And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." And he said, you know, got a pretty strong arm. You're going to now see what I'm about to do. And he worked up some things, and it all came to pass. Let's go to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Very familiar verse of scripture. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" When he speaks, it's going to come to pass. Whatever it is that he says, like when he said, let there be light, there was light. That's that. It's just the power of the spoken word by God Almighty. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Many of you can quote this. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." This is God speaking to Isaiah. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereto I sent it. It's going to come to pass. If I speak it, it's going to do what I tell it to do, so to speak. You know, it's just, he commanded the light to shine, and there was light. So he's pretty powerful. His words really do mean something. And the words that God gives are always wonderful words to bless mankind. Sometimes there's judgments in them, but it's because mankind screwed it up, and that's the result, the judgments that come. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8. So how about a man or a woman or a child who is directed by God to speak words from him? What type of effect does that have? Somebody who's walking for God and God says, hey, I want you to say this, or I want you to do that. Speak for me. Does anything happen with that? Exodus chapter 8. And in verse 1, this is, as we're all very familiar with, the record where God's helping the children of Israel, or working it to, for the children of Israel to get out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land that he had promised to Abraham and those of his seed. And he's working with Moses in this situation to enable this to happen. Verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, and here's what he said, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And what happened? Or this is what he said would happen. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, and shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the houses of the servants and upon the people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. You know, they're getting into your food, they're in your oven, they're in your bed, you got to put your socks on, there's a frog in there. Every once in a while we get frogs that are in my pool, you know, the pool, and I go to open up the skimmer, and there's a frog that jumps out. But that's just one little frog. But this is what he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, hey, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to release a few frogs. Well, that's what happened. Verse 4, and the frogs came up. So, you know, powerful words. Chapter 8, verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, so Moses is going to speak what God's telling him to say. Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Powerful words, verse 21. Else, if thou wilt not let thy people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. Did that come to pass? Yep. Eight other wonderful plagues where God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, this is, let my people go. If not, this is what's going to happen. Powerfully done. Powerfully done. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle. And it goes on and on and on. You know, when Moses said, thus saith the Lord, he's speaking on behalf of God Almighty. And when a person is directed to speak by God, he is or she is carrying the power of God, whatever those words are. It's a person speaking for God. It's carrying that same power. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Just going to look at some more, thus saith the Lord. That's a great little word study to do, thus, a phrase study. thus saith the Lord. And it just is so powerful to see through the scriptures when somebody says, thus saith the Lord. There's stuff that happens. Really incredible. And of course, we don't say, thus saith the Lord, if God's not talking. There talks about that in there too. Those words will fall to the ground. Chapter 17, verse 14. This is, God sent Elijah to go live at a widow's house, and she was about to die. She was getting her last meal with her son and then die. And he comes up to her and says, hey, yeah, but first make me a little food.
Yeah, that's about right.
No, you.
And she said, you know, we really don't have anything. We're about to starve to death. So verse 14, he says, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went out and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house, that's when even houses were eating back then, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So Elijah got the revelation, he spoke it forth, obviously he believed what God had said, and there it is, just incredible. What power. Now, if he didn't have revelation, he could say that to her, and they'd all be starving. But God got involved, knew what to tell him, and there you have it. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 7, another incredible record. This is where the Syrians were endeavoring to starve out the city of Samaria, and I believe it's Samaria, and this is Elisha, and in verse 1, it got to be a very hungry situation. They were starving, and it was a big famine because of it, and verse 1 says, then Elijah said, hear the word, and the food was super expensive. Hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, then Elijah said, behold, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So the food was super expensive. There was hardly anything. They were really hungry. And here all of a sudden, Elijah speaks this prophecy, and it sounds like stupidity to this Lord. And he says, yeah, right, sure. And as you know the record, I'm sure, the leopards get involved, and they say, you know, maybe we should just go into those Syrians and see what they got out there. What can we lose? Verse 16. And so they ended up getting all the food that these Syrians had. In the verse 16, it says, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord. And this is the next day. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. So he spoke those words, and they came to pass. That's really incredible, really powerful. In 1 Samuel 3, it talks about Samuel, when he was beginning as a prophet, a man of God, speaking for God. It says that he did not let any of his words fall to the ground, which means God held up those words. When Samuel spoke by revelation, those words came to pass. God was involved. If they're just the person's words, they could be right, they could be wrong, they could fall to the ground. But when they're speaking, the person speaking what God told them to speak, God's involved. The same power that said, let there be light, is the same power that said, you know, food's going to be really cheap tomorrow. And in full abundance. It's really incredible. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. We'll see a few things from Jesus Christ. If anybody was powerful, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he read these records when he was a young man. Mm-hmm. He worked these records in his heart to help him to a point where he knew absolutely when he spoke for God that those words were from God and would come to pass, if they were supposed to come to pass. Mark chapter 1, the record with the leper. Verse 40. And these are just great scriptures to just keep looking at and recognizing in our heart. Verse 40 says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. So the revelation was just say, be thou clean. That was the gifts of ministries. That was the what God, how he ministered healing. Be thou clean. There's one record where a blind man comes to him and he says, start seeing. That was the words that God told him to say. That's what he said. And the guy started seeing. You know, it doesn't always have to be what we think is ministering healing. He just said, be thou clean. God said, let there be light. Let's go to chapter 3 of Mark. Verse 1. I thought it'd be easier just to stay in one gospel. Because there are so many records here. It says, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man, which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other. So that was the ministry. Stretch forth thy hand. That was what God wanted that man to hear. Jesus Christ spoke it. God didn't let those words fall to the ground. The man believed, and boom, it happened. He did what was the impossible. Now, just amazing. Chapter 4, verse 37. This was after a long day of ministering God's word, and he's on a ship crossing the water with his disciples. And verse 37, it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He must have been a really hard, you know, sound sleeper. This wasn't waking him up. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest that thou not that we perish here? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That was the revelation. Just tell the sea, peace be still. Those three words is what changed that circumstance. But he had words that came from God. he spoke those words with believing, and the power of God was involved, and boom.
There it is. Just amazing.
Okay, so we're going to go to one other gospel. Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. And we have been taught through the years, and we're aware of the nine manifestations of the Spirit and the revelation manifestations that are involved, and gifts of healing and workings of miracles, but it's all God-directed. Chapter 8, verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him, referring to Jesus Christ, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the devils with his word and healed all that were sick. However that was, whether he said, you know, come out of him, or be thou removed, thou dumb and deaf spirit, or whatever, he spoke at his word, those devil spirits were removed. They came out. Just showing the effect of those words. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. How important are these words? They're very important. John chapter 6. And this is a scenario where a number of followers were leaving because of things that Jesus Christ said they didn't understand, and they were walking away from him. And Jesus asked Peter, you know, you guys going to leave too? And verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words that Jesus Christ spoke could give eternal life. Who else has the words of eternal life? We do. Romans 10:9, right? We say what that word, those words say to somebody that's not born again, and they believe it and do what Romans 10:9 says, and guess what? They have eternal life. Now, how incredible is that? The words that can flow out of your mouth can actually help somebody get born again. I don't know if it gets any bigger than that. That's just huge. Just super huge. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We can speak words that will bring eternal life to people. This is Day of Pentecost, Peter speaking concerning what had just happened with the event of speaking in tongues and all the things that were involved. And he's sharing, as we've read and learned so many times. And in verse 38, towards the tail end of what he was bringing them to a point of, which was to be able to get born again and get saved, he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter, verse 38, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So those words that Peter spoke enabled those people to get born again. Brought eternal life to those individuals. Just how big is that?
Huge.
That those words flowing out of his mouth could do that. And we have the same privilege and opportunity to do so. The words that come out of our mouths can bring healing, can bring comfort, can bring wisdom, can bring whatever it is, inspiration, eternal life. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. The apostles were locked up by their buddies, the religious leaders. Friendly little notion, you know, they were looking for a Motel 6, and they said, hey, we got something, you don't even have the paper. So they're spending the night there, and then hey, the night was over, and the angel got them out. And in verse 20, the angel told them, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, which would include what Romans 10:9 says. about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that God had accomplished, and tell people about that. Just great. And lastly, we're going to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, dealing with the city of Ephesus, and the Word of God was being taught in Ephesus and believed in Ephesus and having incredible effects. And so many people were getting born again, and their lives were changed and getting changed from the light of God's Word. And they were getting rid of a lot of devilish things that had ill affected them and getting rid of them. And really a major change that had happened in that city in such a short amount of time. And in verse 10, it says, and this is talking about teaching the Word, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews," now not everything that you say is going to come to pass. It's got to be directed by God's Word or the promises in God's Word. If you just like make something up and try it with your own power and your own devices, you may fall flat on your face. And here's a good example of it. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure thee by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." You know, they had seen a lot of healings in Ephesus and seen people get devil spirits cast at them. They're like, hey, we're joining on this bandwagon here. Let's do that too. And they're using the name of Jesus. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who the hell are you?" I'm going to use another word. Who are you? They were not directed by God to be doing this. And that devil spirit knew it. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear or awe fell on all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." They saw the real power of God when it was God directed, and they saw the opposite where you tried to, you know, do it on your own and figure it out and have your own thing, and saw that fall flat on their face. Gotta be God directed. Moses would have never gotten the children of Israel out of Egypt had God not said to do it. If Moses just had conjured up this idea, I think it'd be a good idea we all leave now. Just wouldn't have happened. Just would not have happened.
I think your piano's got to get bigger.
So, all that happened in verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them which all them also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." So when Paul and company went into Ephesus and they started speaking the truths of God's word, and they were God-directed, those who started hearing and believing, there were changes, major changes that were going on in their lives because of that. And they got rid of a lot of junk, or all the junk, you know. There's a lot of stuff that was burned and gotten rid of. And there were changes that happened because of the word of God that was spoken, and they believed it. No less powerful than when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it was so. When we speak the truth of God's word, when we say what Romans 10:9 says to somebody who believes it, it is the same thing. Really wild. What a privilege that we have. So the words that we speak definitely have power to them. They have wisdom to them. They have healing power to them, comfort. You know, the words that we speak can be extremely soothing. Have you ever said, after somebody say something from God's word or whatever to you, that is just what I needed to hear? Have we ever done that? Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just such a blessing to us. So as we walk with God, God directs us. He tells us what to say or sometimes what not to say. Sometimes he just says, don't say a word. Remember when he directed Paul, they were going through different places and wanted to go to Bithynia, and God said, don't say anything. So they just walked through into another area, and then God said, hey, now where you go? So, just a wonderful thing. What a privilege that we have. When we say those words that God's word says, what power is behind them? So, what a privilege.